Stand by as we're about to begin. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the IBM Tivoli Talk Maximal 7.1 Linear Asset Manager Conference, hosted by Ken Donnelly from IBM Strategy and Market Management, and Ed Jones, IBM Product Designer and Architect. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. If you are unable to view today's presentation, please email Audra Johnson at audra.johnson@us.ibm.com. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Ken Donnelly. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Abe. Hi, this is Ken Donnelly. Today, I'm going to be presenting with Ed Jones. We're going to talk about IBM Maximo 7.1 Linear Asset Manager. This is a new solution that will be released in May as part of our Pulse conference. That will be when the announcement's made. And this is a new solution we're adding to the Maximo product family. What we're going to cover today in our agenda, first I'm going to talk about linear value and the value proposition and challenges around selling a linear solution, and then talk about the product portfolio and packaging for Maximo Linear Asset Manager. I'll then turn it over to Ed Jones, who's our product designer and architect, and he's going to cover the new features of Maximo Linear Asset Manager, and then we'll have some time for questions. Before I get started, let me share with you that this is a part of a series of several presentations announcing the new Maximo 7.1. The first presentation was done on April 10th and 11th, talking about Maximo 7.1 Asset Manager, giving an overview of the base or basic Maximo product. This presentation goes deeper into an add-on solution that's part of that Maximo 7.1 solution, called our Linear Asset Manager. And there will be another presentation on the Maximo 7.1 Asset Management Essentials on May 8th and 9th. Let's first talk about linear assets. Now, most of our organization, those that sell our software, or even the people that buy our software, and as well as partners, are familiar with nonlinear assets. These are the traditional assets we've supported with Maximo. These include things like mobile assets, fleet vehicles, cars, trucks, aircraft, physical fixed assets, which are facilities and also production type equipment, and then component-based assets, which include aircraft and ships. These would be like an aircraft where you would have components such as engines or auxiliary power units in addition to the aircraft that you're maintaining. These are typically installed, maintained, and replaced as a whole. You typically go out and buy a new building or acquire a new asset and retire the old asset. The nonlinear assets occupy defined space, and they can be tracked by its location. So even if they like a moving asset, they move around, we can track those. Or they're typically modeled as part of a parent-child hierarchy. Now, linear assets are different. Linear assets are typically things like roads, which you can think of a city or a state road. These can be managed by a Department of Transportation or managed by the city infrastructure. It may be part of a railway where we've got tracks, signals, and structures. The railroad may maintain that, or there may be a separate company maintaining the track and signals. Or it could be a utility with pipeline and wire. So it could be an oil and gas company, telecommunications, or power utility. These type of assets are preserved and restored in place and in segments. So when the asset gets older, it's not retired, it's just updated. New projects may come into play to add maybe a new off-ramp or to fill a pothole or to resurface a road. Linear assets have linear properties, and they're often connected with each other by their relationship with the linear infrastructure itself. So linear infrastructure may be a highway, and we may only be looking at an exit on that highway at any one time. So those are the typical differences between linear assets and nonlinear assets. Let me talk about some specific use cases, and I'll start with roads. Now, our value proposition for roads, first, when we look at especially the U.S. market, there's a requirement called GASB 34. It's really around the idea that a city needs to manage its roadways as an asset, just like a private company would manage its assets. So it needs to track the, what the value is, and also the improvements and additional funds that are put into that asset. DOTs alone in the U.S. spend $92 billion a year to maintain state highways. So we're using the U.S. as an example, but all countries and all cities and states that maintain roads spend a great deal of money maintaining those roads. And then in municipalities, it's very common to either be dealing with declining funding and at the same time aging infrastructure, either both or some. Cities in the northern part of the U.S., for instance, tend to have aging infrastructure. They've had their roads in place a long time, and their population may be steady or declining, so they're, depending on changes, their tax basis to maintain those roads could be changing. Whereas other cities, and this is true in cities outside the U.S. as well as the southern part of the U.S., they're often growing, and as they grow, they don't have the infrastructure of roads to support that growth. So they need to manage the funds for those roads quite specifically. The challenge that they typically had, they need to manage these assets as continuous assets. We just talked about that, where it's a large asset that's continuous. It starts at one point in a state, for instance, and ends at another. And with dynamic segmentation, what we mean by that is if we're looking at problems, for instance, conditions or problems that have been identified along the road, we want to look at a given set of those at any one time. And often these are broken up by things like mile or kilometer markers. So we may want to look at mile marker 52 to 82 today, and then tomorrow we want to look at mile marker 75 to 101. We need to dynamically see our linear assets, and we need an application that can support that. The other challenge is these types of assets are broken up by things like mile kilometer markers, as well as things like lane, direction, offset, bridges, tunnel signs. It can also have things like speed as a condition another thing that they're looking at as part of this linear asset. Now, the typical operation processes our customers go through, first off with a DOT. These are the highways within a state or country. Problems are typically called in to a service center. There isn't a regular inspection made. It's typically brought in by a supervisor that's out on a road. They identify something, they call it in, or a work crew sees something, or a citizen calls that in. In municipalities, there's often inspectors in addition to this, and the inspectors go out and assess the roads and identify conditions, such as things like cracking or patching. And then finally, the crews, there'll be a crews assigned to go out and either make repairs or to do construction projects, again, building something new like an on- or off-ramp. In this market, or with roads, we have a partner called Invista, and they provide a solution for pavement management. Our next use case is around railway. Now, with railway, the value proposition is a little different. Railway maintenance is 20 to 30% of the operating costs of a railroad. So a railroad, when they own their own infrastructure, do spend a great deal of money to maintain that infrastructure. It's very critical for the safety of the railroad. And typically 5 to 15% of their annual revenue is lost due to track occupancy for maintenance. So they have to shut the track down while they do maintenance so they can't operate trains on that. You know, a railroad is always live in a sense. All the tracks are live except when you're doing maintenance. And when you do that, you've got to shuttle the equipment around, and often this causes delays. Those delays then lead to lost revenue. Now, if a company doesn't own its own track, maybe there's a separate company maintaining that, they still experience the same kinds of problems, and it impacts the rail, overall railroad. The challenges there are very similar to roads. They've got to manage this as a continuous asset with dynamic segmentation. It's broken up a little bit differently. Often they may have mile markers, but they may call them chain markers, and they may not be spaced out specifically in miles. They also have track numbers, offset, how far they are from a mile marker, and identify things like switches, frogs, or another word for frog is a crossing where you cross from one track to another, as well as things like signals. Now, in railroads, the operation process is a little different. The inspections are typically done with track inspectors who watch the track often weekly, sometimes twice weekly, and they identify things called conditions. These, again, are just problems. But they'll identify these conditions using a color scheme most frequently. They'll identify red conditions, yellow, and green. Red are things that need to be fixed immediately. Yellow are things that need to be scheduled to be fixed very soon. Green are things that we just want to keep an eye on so that the next time we come back and inspect, we can see if it's gotten any worse. Similar to roads, there are crews that go out and make repairs, or there's typically separate crews that go out and do construction projects, new construction. We've got a couple partners here. The first one's Bentley Systems. They provide a product called Uptram. And the second is Mermec, which provide a product called Ramsys. And these both support linear asset management for railways. Our third type of use case is around pipeline and wire for utilities and oil and gas type companies. The value proposition here is we want to immediately address service interruptions. If someone calls in or we one of our systems identify that there's a break in service, we want to be able to repair that and get service back up to our customers as quickly as possible. Our challenge is very similar. We need to maintain these assets as a continuous asset with dynamic segmentation. We break them up a little bit differently. We use GIS locations for access points or towers, so access points for pipeline, for instance, or to show where our towers are with overhead cable or wire. The operations process will have systems that monitor for things like leaks or breaks and alert Maximo. Now, this is the ideal situation. They may also just alert a call-in center, and then that call-in center will pass that over to maintenance. There's also citizens that call in when there's a service disruption. Just like if your power goes out in your home, you may typically have a phone number that you can call to alert the utility that you're without service. And then crews go out and make repairs, perform construction projects, similar to the other linear assets. And in some cases, they'll do some preventive maintenance. Let's talk now about the asset management product family. These are all the Maximo solutions that are available today. And we're going to focus right now on the add-on solutions and our newest add-on solution, Linear Asset Manager. Now, what an add-on solution means is that I have to first own a Maximo asset management solution. I could own an industry solution as well, but I need to own a base solution like Maximo Asset Management. And on top of that, then I can add my add-on solution. So I can add my linear asset manager. And this will be a little more clear as well when we talk about packaging. But that's how add-on solutions work with general solutions. And, of course, hopefully you're familiar with industry solutions and options. Options are more similar to add-on solutions. Industry solutions can be bought as a specific solution or can be added later to a general solution. We're going to release these products over the next year, and that'll begin with in the second quarter with the general availability being May 16th for Maximo Asset Management, the new Maximo Asset Management Essentials, and also our Maximo Linear Asset Manager. So you can see the other solutions that'll be available then. This will be our first release of those solutions, and that'll follow with releases in the third quarter, the fourth quarter, and then the first half of 2009. And just to note, this release, the general availability, will coincide with our Pulse meeting this year. So our Pulse user conference for Tivoli users will be when we announce and make this available. Let's talk now about packaging. The Maximo Linear Asset Manager is an add-on solution, as we just identified, so it's something that you buy after you've owned Maximo. So as an example, let's take a rail company. They may have 50 mechanics who maintain 1,000 miles of track. And this is a made-up example. The 50 and 1,000 miles don't have a specific relationship, but just for this example, I'm using 50 mechanics. And let's say they also want to maintain some facilities, so some stations along the track. They may have 10 facilities maintenance people. They may also be using these to maintain some other buildings that the rail organization owns. So they can buy Maximo Linear Asset Manager in two ways. One is buy now with an initial purchase. So if they're a new customer, they want to purchase this for their linear assets. They need a total of 60 users, so they would buy 60 users of Maximo Asset Management. And then they would buy, as part of this, 50 users of Maximo Linear Asset Manager. So we'd take the standard price for Maximo Asset Management times 60, and then we would take this uplift price, this additional price for Linear Asset Manager times that by 50. They only need 50 licenses of those, and that would give us our total initial price. Now, I don't have a price there for Maximo Linear Asset Manager because it hasn't been released yet, but as soon as it's released, you can just use that price and then come up with your total initial price. Now, the alternative is to buy it later. Now, this is going to appeal to many of our customers that already own Maximo Asset Management. So if they already own the 60 licenses of Maximo Asset Management, they'll just be buying the additional 50 Maximo Linear Asset Manager licenses. And the total cost is going to be the same as if they bought it now. They're just buying the Linear Asset Manager later. So if you're selling to a customer that's not unsure of that, they could buy the Linear Asset Manager later, or more likely, they already own Maximo Asset Management, but now they see that there's the Linear Asset Manager available. They can purchase that, but they will have to upgrade to the version 7 platform before they can add Maximo Linear Asset Manager. And with that, I'll turn it over to Ed Jones, who's our product designer and architect, to talk about some of the new features of this solution.
Thanks, Ken. Ken discussed the number of challenges that owners of linear assets face, and my job was to address those challenges and come up with some solutions. So what I'd like to do now is to tell you how we address those problems and challenges that the owners face. The way we did that was by soliciting input from development partners, people who actually deal with these issues on a daily basis, and we brought them in, discussed some of these challenges, and came up with what we feel are pretty solid solutions. To start off with, the first challenge we faced was defining a linear asset in Maximo. As Ken mentioned earlier, linear assets are obviously quite different than fixed assets in that they have a distance, they have a span. So what we did was extend the asset definition in Maximo that users can identify assets as being linear and then enter a start and end measure. And while this seems fairly basic, this is really the baseline for working on linear assets. And much of the goal of this is to track where we performed work so we can track our costs on our linear assets for future reference. Applying attributes to a linear asset is also quite different than when you're applying it to a fixed asset. In Maximo today, we make the assumption that we're dealing with assets such as pumps. And so if we have an attribute such as size or color or speed, that attribute applies to the entire asset. Well, when we're dealing with linear assets, that obviously isn't the case. If we're tracking speed limit on a road or the width of the road or the number of lanes, those values change over the span of the asset. So what we've done is we've extended the classification process in Maximo So you can apply the same attribute multiple times with different values and apply start and end measures. And in this way, you can apply the concept that Ken mentioned called dynamic segmentation. Currently, if I wanted to identify a segment of my asset as having a type of material as asphalt, I'm forced to create a new asset for that specific segment. Now, all the user needs to do is enter the same attribute called material, enter a new value called asphalt, and simply apply a start and end measure for that new value. While some clients will be using absolute measures, meaning measuring from the beginning of the linear asset to locate work and other definitions of the asset, many clients will be using mileposts or chain markers. And to handle that, we actually created a new object in Maximo. The object is called a feature. A feature has a physical presence, but unlike an asset, it's not something that you're going to track costing against. For example, a milepost is normally not something that's going to have a serial number, and it's normally not something you're going to track cost against. You're going to use that to locate work. Should you have to change that milepost, you would simply charge the cost against the asset on which that milepost resides. This way, workers are able to find where work is located without knowing the absolute measures of the actual work location. On roadways, mileposts do tend to be close in proximity to the actual measure, but in rail, it can be a very different story. Even though the railways use a term called milepost, their mileposts are very rarely at the exact mileage that they identify. Relationships are another issue when dealing with linear assets. Our customers came to us and said that our roads and our railways may be organized hierarchically from an organizational standpoint, but not from an operational one. Track 1 and Track 2 aren't organized as a parent and child. They parallel one another. When I have a turnout that crosses from Track 1 to Track 2, once again, a parent-child relationship sort of falls flat. So what we introduced was the ability to create user-defined relationships that the user can then apply. In this way, we're more closely aligning these relationships with the actual operational layout as opposed to forcing the users into the classic parent-child hierarchy. When we started talking to municipalities, we found that mileposts or absolute markers didn't really work for them. They don't have mileposts. They have intersections, and they need the ability to leverage relationships when working on their streets. So what we did was extend the definition of a relationship and allow them to create a relationship and identify it as a reference point. This way, they can establish intersections between city roads and then use those roads as start and end reference points to locate work. When you're dealing with dynamic segmentation, just trapping the information is only half the battle. You also need to be able to go in at any point in time and see what your asset looked like at any point in history. Whether it's dealing with tracking of costing and where the costs went to accident reporting, users want to be able to put in an as-of date and see what the road looked like at a specific point in time. So what we did was we added classification history, feature history, and relationship history. In Maximo today, you currently have electronic audit capability, but we needed something that was a little more robust since users were going to be using it more frequently, and they needed the response time to be very, very quick in this case. So we leveraged functionality that currently resides in the configuration manager. And in this way, when an attribute, for example, speed limit is changed, instead of simply changing that value from, say, 55 to 60, we actually take a snapshot of the entire attribute record, put a remove date on that record, and then create a new record with a new created date. When dealing with compliance, this becomes a big issue, and we've received a lot of positive feedback for this approach. In Maximo, it all comes down to work, and for linear assets, it all comes down to working on a segment of a linear asset. In Maximo today, when you create a work order, you're working on an asset. Well, when it comes to roads and railways, this is not that effective. So what we've done is we've applied what we've called a linear segment detail to work orders, as well as PMs, routes, and service requests. And in this way, you can identify the specific segment on which you're working instead of working on the entire linear asset. And because Maximo maintains that work history, those segment details will be carried with that work order for future reference. When rail workers are grinding tracks, they normally don't grind a single track. They normally grind from track one over a crossover and onto track two. This is a single block of work, but it's involving multiple assets. In Maximo today, we were faced with the limitation that they had to create multiple work orders to satisfy that requirement. And because the job plan was a single job plan, they were frustrated by the fact that they had to create multiple work orders. In 7.1, you can now create a single work order that addresses multiple assets, locations, or linear assets. What we've done to that to support linear as well is you can apply a start and end measure to each of those assets, and that way you can support the rail requirement. We found this to be very popular, not only with linear assets, but with point assets as well. We had one customer from a municipality that had 100,000 manhole covers that have to be inspected twice a year. Now they don't have to create 200,000 work orders every year. They can simply add multiple manholes to a single work order and conduct their inspection. We've also extended condition monitoring. Condition monitoring is historically used to track conditions such as temperature, vibration, pressure. When you start talking about linear assets, you also have condition monitoring, but it's quite different. And it's different for a few reasons. As Ken mentioned earlier, rail inspections are driven by conditions such as bad ties, rails that are out of alignment, pitting, other issues that the inspectors may find. The inspectors need a way to track those conditions and to generate work orders if failures are found. A few of the challenges you face here are the fact that conditions occur at a specific measure, so we extended condition monitoring to allow users to put in a start and end measure of the found condition. What we also did was leverage some existing functionality in via characteristic meters. And a characteristic meter allows you basically to create your own meter. A specific example would be oil color. You typically change your oil based upon a certain number of miles or kilometers. But recently, people have started to say that you really shouldn't do that. You should change your oil based upon the color of the oil. So you can create an oil color meter, and for each one of the colors, you can attach a job plan, and based upon the finding, generate a work order. Well, the same logic can be followed for in rail inspections, such as a tie damage work order, and you can set up different conditions, for example, 3 consecutive bad ties or 2 bad ties within 39 feet. And if an inspector finds one of those conditions, we can generate a work order to drop the speed limit for that segment of rail, and we can also attach an escalation at that point to notify personnel of pending changes. So we've extended condition monitoring, but we've also tried to leverage existing functionality as well to support the defect management scenarios. Linear assets are related differently than classic fixed assets in their classic hierarchies. And once they're related in a linear fashion, we need to be able to leverage those relationships. So what we've done is we've extended the Rouse application, which is normally used to create a sequence list of assets and locations, to create a route using these relationships. So in 7.1, what you can do is identify a linear asset, such as a road, and then select related assets. This originally was generated based upon the rail requirement to be able to walk through a network, start from track 1, see what track 1 is related to, select a crossover, see what the crossover is related to, and then walk to subsequent tracks. But we found here as well that this comes in very handy for point assets that are along linear assets as well. Things like track signals, automated signs, assets that are related to the linear asset can be identified and then grouped together in a route to create a single work order. All of the assets identified now, because of the multi-asset work order, can go on a single work order. We've created features to support reference points such as mileposts or chain markers, but we quickly found out that this functionality could be beneficial in other ways as well. Leak management for pipelines is also quite a challenge. In Maximo today, they would have to identify those leaks as an asset, and they were finding that that was quite a challenge because obviously a leak is not really an asset. When we mentioned that we are creating features that are associated with assets, the people in the pipeline industry were very happy because now they have a method of identifying and labeling leaks and also being able to create work orders on those leaks. Because even though it's a feature, we do allow users to create PMs and work orders on the feature. We simply track the costing against the asset to which that feature is associated. When I was visiting one of our linear clients, a very frustrated maintenance supervisor pulled up an existing version of Maximo and showed a laundry list of bad ballast work orders on one of his tracks. And he looked at me and he said, what am I supposed to do with this laundry list of work orders? Well, it quickly became evident that they needed more effective ways of locating and grouping these work orders together. So we created a linear asset filter for the work management screens. And what you can do is enter a linear asset and a start and end measure. And what it will do is retrieve any work orders that start within that range, end within that range, or overlap the entire range. So this is very, very simple, yet it's very powerful for the maintenance supervisors to locate work. And then using standard Maximo functionality, they can then easily group those work orders into a work package if they should need to do that. Unlike railways, where much of your work is generated by inspectors, on roadways, every driver with a cell phone becomes an inspector. They tend to have a lot of reactive work based upon this, but they're challenged with the ability to track these service requests. So what we've done is we've extended the create service request functionality. So not only the asset can be entered, but also the measures of where the request came in. So if a user calls in and they're calling in regarding a pothole, we can take the information about what road they're on as well as the nearest milepost and pass that information on to a maintenance supervisor. This is also very helpful because you're able to group related records, and when there are multiple calls that come in regarding the same issues, you don't end up with multiple work orders being generated to service the multiple service requests. So the road customers that I work with find that this is something they want to do a much better job with, and by extending the functionality to sort linear assets, they're very interested in learning more about this and putting it into practice. When you're working on linear assets, not all of your work is going to be completed during one day. So what we need to be able to do is to track the work progress. So we've attached a table to the work order that allows users to do this. This is not going to drive work order status. It is simply meant for the crew chief to be able to track where he's accomplished his work. It's also useful for inspectors who may have a single work order covering a number of miles. They can enter the progress that they've made against that inspection work order on a daily basis. So in summary, by addressing some of the existing challenges and problems, we're allowing Maximo to support linear assets more effectively. We did that by extending the core applications. We've only created one new application called Features, which creates the features such as mileposts. But we've attempted to extend the existing applications using conditional UI as opposed to creating separate applications. In doing so, we've tried to create a generic linear base that satisfies a number of different industries. And normally, this can be a challenge because you're trying to provide a sort of a one-size-fits-all approach, but not water it down so much so it doesn't support anyone. And we've really been met with favorable response in terms of the way we've approached this because there are similarities between linear assets, even when they're in different markets. The way we're doing this in terms of using existing applications is by some new functionality called a conditional UI. So when you're on a work order and you're working on a linear asset, specific linear fields will appear. When you're on a fixed asset, those fields will not appear. This is new functionality that we're introducing, and so far it's been met with very positive responses from the clients. And with that, I will pass it back to you, Ken.
Thanks, Ed. At this point, I think we're ready for questions, Abe, if you could alert our listeners.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to queue up to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Once again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question or to make a comment on the conference today. We'll pause to remember some of our question queue. And we currently have no questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. And we did just have a caller queue up. We'll hear from Brendan Kelly.
Yeah, hi. I've got a question around whether there's any sort of integration available between something like facial management and linear management, whereby you can a user can report a GPS waypoint where a problem might exist.
Well, let me address part of that, and then I'll let Ed talk a little bit about that. It's an excellent question. Obviously, our customers that are managing linear assets are going to want to use a solution like Maximo Spatial for GIS. Now, keep in mind, we're going to be releasing the Maximo Linear Asset Manager in May. The Spatial application will be released a little bit later, on the 7.1 platform. So it'll follow at a later point, and it's the spatial solutions also part of the Maximo utility, Maximo for Utilities industry solution. So when the utilities industry solution is released, the new version of spatial is also available. Now at that point, that would be the first point where we would we could have those together. So those industry solutions again will follow the Maximo asset management release. And Ed, do you want to comment about when we see spatial aligning with Linear Asset Manager? Will it be at that point, or do we see it in the future?
We certainly see it happening. What will happen, as you mentioned, that first, Maximo Spatial will be brought forward to 7.1. And once that occurs, we will then be looking at merging the linear functionality with Spatial. So at this point, it's not going to be happening at the same time. We have to give them a chance to move onto the same platform. But we are currently involved in discussions regarding having Maximo Spatial supporting and be integrated with the Linear Asset Manager.
And right now, the Spatial Utilities solution, the first time it will be available on the 7.1 platform will be in the fourth quarter, going back to that earlier chart showing the planned release schedule.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Once again, that is star one if you'd like to ask a question. And Mr. Donnelly, it appears we have no further questions in our queue at this time.
Well, thank you, Abe. I want to thank those that attended today. If you could hold a minute, I wanted to let you know about some additional Tivoli talks on these types of Maximo subjects. As we mentioned, the Maximo 7.1 asset management will be generally available in May to align with the Pulse conference. We'll also be releasing the asset management for IT and the service request management solution. There will be some Tivoli talks over the next month to give you an update on what's happening with those. And then later on, there will be a talk on the CCMDB at the end of this year. I mentioned earlier that this is part of a series around asset management for Maximo 7.1 asset management. The first talk was on April 10th and 11th. This talk's today on April 24th. There will be another tomorrow on the 25th. And then there will be a presentation on Maximo 7.1 Asset Management Essentials on May 8th and 9th. And finally, for those that wanting to get more information about the move to Passport Advantage, there will be some migration Tivoli talks over the next 2 months talking about Passport Advantage, and that you can see the dates here. With that, I want to thank you for participating today, and if you do have further questions, please contact NRI. If you look at the presentation online, the one we just gave to you, the graphics aren't nearly as good as the actual presentation, so you can download that presentation and get the more crisp graphics. And there's also some additional slides at the end that give an explanation of each of the features that are now part of Maximo Linear Asset Manager. With that, I think we're complete. Thank you again for your participation. And again, if you have questions about Maximo Linear Asset Manager, feel free to contact either myself or Ed.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference call for today. Thanks very much for your participation. Have a great day.